Greetings to everyone. Glad everybody could be here as much as possible. My wife was all set. They're going to have a big choir today for the special music, and one person got sick, and another person was supposed to come in, and they got sick, and so on. But we did end up with some very beautiful music today, and I really appreciate it as to how much music can come from, you know, one instrument. And then when you go back and see all the training and work that it takes, you really get to appreciate it more. In fact, the more I traveled around the world, I always felt there were two things that I lacked. One was not learning a foreign language, basically German or French. That was really a gap. And secondly, not learning to play a musical instrument. So I give credit to those people that do play. I hope Mr. Garnett, you know, he's getting a little older, sometimes things slip his mind. I hope that he did welcome all the guests here today, if there are any guests. And I want to say that if you are a guest here, we preach from the scriptures. We try to have the scriptures as a basis for what we say so it can always be supported. We don't just preach what man teaches. So today, you know, I hope you've all been watching the news, because the world is falling apart. You see, when Mr. Armstrong spoke, he spoke about events that occurred. He said, boy, we didn't have these airplanes and so on. You see, he spoke from his perspective of what they had or didn't have and how the world began to come down from a moral standpoint. Well, I was after Mr. Armstrong from those times, but I can look at it from my perspective of time having gone by, and the world is falling apart. It's not what it was before. When we were kids, I could walk to school. There was no fear. I could walk. We all walked down to the movie theaters and walked back at night. You know, we didn't have the concerns we have today of a van coming along and snatching the kids off the bikes or so on. And of course, we have the wars, terrorism, terror, meaning we kill not the enemy necessarily, not those who are fighting against us, but the innocent, the helpless. Why? Why? Because that's what terror is. You see, if you just kill the soldier, that's kind of like, well, that's the name of the game. But when you kill the innocent, then it's terror. So with all that going on in the world, I felt I wanted to pick a topic that was appropriate. So I'm going to take one aspect of God, so that we can refresh our minds on that topic and refocus our thoughts on God at this time. Because things are changing, and they say the tribulation in the world that's going on in Africa and the persecution is coming here. They say not a long time, months, some have said. See, they say people are here ready to destroy us. See? So let's say go through this idea of this one concept of God. So the topic I want to speak about today, that one concept, is giving the glory to God. Giving the glory to God. Now, I want to make it clear when I talk about that, I'm not talking about the glory that emits from God to us. I'm talking about the glory that you should be returning to God, ascribing to Him, offering to Him. That's the point I want to bring home today. So, in starting this, let's ask the question, why give the glory to God? Why? Now, if you have any question along this line, or to give you a deeper understanding, a good thing to do is take your mind and think back in time, way back in time. Go beyond the moon. Go beyond Pluto. Go beyond the stars. Okay, go beyond this Milky Way. Take your mind back further in time, beyond all the galaxies. They talk about, millions of galaxies with billions of stars and beyond all of that. Go back in time until you come to where there's nothing. Nothing but space, except for God. See? Just God. God and space. See? So that concept, when you have it in mind, it adds to your knowledge, aids your knowledge and your understanding that God is the sole source of all life, of all authority, and all power. He is, as we will read, the source of everything. See, when you focus on the word source, think, we're not talking about there's God in heaven, and over here's a big generator that produces power, and that power works in through God the Father. No, he doesn't have any outside source giving him power or authority. It's all inherent in him. It emanates and flows from him. See? He is everything. He has all power and might and authority within him. And that concept of starting with nothing but space and God helps. And we'll talk a little more about that. So it comes from God. So in Deuteronomy, seeing some scriptures to kind of help along this line, Deuteronomy 10:17. For the Lord your God, Deuteronomy 10:17, for the Lord your God is the God of gods. He is the Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome. So, when the enemy comes here and says, make a choice, you want to have some of these scriptures in mind. That you don't have to worship a false god. It's not worth it. See? Then in 1 Chronicles 16:25. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all other gods. Okay? So keep that in mind when they come and say, it's Allah or punishment. Okay? And Revelation 15:4 says, who shall not fear you, O Lord? And glory. Remember, we're talking about giving the glory to God. And glory your name. You alone are holy. See, that brings to mind, remember when the person came up to Jesus, said, oh, good master. He, whoa, whoa, Jesus said, whoa, wait a minute. Whoa, don't call me good. See, Jesus didn't take the glory to himself. He said, don't call me good. There's only one good. That's God the Father in heaven. See, that helps us. That's out of the mouth of Jesus, you see. So the bottom line, I feel, on this point, it's found in Revelation 4:11. 24 elders are speaking before the throne of God. And they say, you are worthy. You are worthy. You've got it coming, God, this glory, to receive glory. These are people right at the throne, or spirit beings right at the throne of God. And they know God, you are worthy to receive glory. So don't hesitate about giving him glory. Glory and honor and power. For you created all things. That's what we talked about. There was nothing but God. Just God. He created all things. Half things weren't created. He just worked with them. He created. And by your will, they exist. So God just didn't walk away. Look at this globe, picture in your mind the astronauts. they fly up on this little spaceship and they look down. And there's the Earth. And it's hanging out there in space. Well, how is that possible? The Earth weighs tons. Why doesn't it fall? Why can it hang in space? I mean, that's only a small part when you start to study about the stars and the sun and the moon and all going in their orbits. But that's a concept, you see. It says, and by your will they exist. So he keeps sustaining them. God's power is still present every day, all the time, not just in creation, one shot, continuously, every minute of our lives, you see. So this concept that we've talked about now about God and why he deserves the glory, it helps bring the concept in your mind. I search for words. The words, they help explain things. So to help and create in your mind when you think of God, the greatness, the majesty, the fearsomeness, the glory, the holiness, and the awesomeness of God. That'll help as to why you should give the glory to God. So what's God's view about mankind giving him the glory? How does God view this when he looks down? What's his thought? In Leviticus 10, 1 through 3, that's the story of Aaron. He has two sons. God tells him specifically, now look, you're going to come before me in this tabernacle. I'm present. My glory is in that holy of holies. You see? I am there. I will appear there. I'll talk to Moses, etc., etc. Here's the way you worship me. Here's the way you do it. But these two sons, for some reason, didn't listen up. They didn't listen. Or if they listened, they didn't hear. They didn't hear. See? So I keep talking about close order drill, Paris Island in the Marine Corps. They take a 17-year-old kid and they teach him. And you wonder, where's our weapons? Why are we shooting at the rifle range? No, close order drill. Why? To teach you to listen and to hear and to obey instantaneously. See, because these young men here didn't hear. It says they offered strange fire. See, they probably took it from a source other than a source they were supposed to take it for, and they bring this fire before God, and they put incense on it, and it's because it gives a beautiful perfume smell and so on, but they didn't do it that way. And then fire from the Lord came down. They didn't do it. They didn't worship God correctly. They disobeyed him. Fire came down and consumed them. You know, you want to think about God, see? Hebrews 12:29 tells us God is a consuming fire. God is a consuming fire. He's someone to be feared if you're going to fight against him, if you're going to transgress him. Otherwise, he can use that power to fight your enemies, one way or the other, see? So Moses said to Aaron, obviously Aaron just lost two sons. Obviously he wasn't happy. We don't know what he said. The Bible doesn't say, so we don't want to speculate and go too far. But for something, Moses had to talk to him. But not just Moses, see? Because Moses speaking says, this is what the Lord spoke, Aaron. God told me to tell you something, see? He says, by those who come near me, this is God speaking, not of Moses, I must be regarded as holy. Not maybe, not if you want to, see? Because if you don't, maybe there's an adverse consequence, which we'll talk about. I must be regarded as holy. And before all the people, I must be glorified. You don't just read over that, I must be glorified, blah, blah, blah. No, stop, listen. Remember when they heard God's voice from Mount Sinai, it shook things. The earth shook. Fire came down, thunder. They were afraid. So don't just mumble over the words. Think, I must be holy. I must be glorified. So Aaron held his peace. Aaron learned. In Psalms 46:10, that's a very interesting one. 46:10, Psalms. Be still. That's interesting. Be still. Another Psalm talk about all the earth be still. God is saying, knock it off. Be quiet. Listen up. Be still, because I'm going to say something, God is saying, you see. Be still and know. Know. Get this in your heads. Know that I am God. Go back and read your story about the Exodus. You think, oh, well, that's a cute little story. They had to go, I know about that. They went out and fired in Egypt, got blasted. And well, every place God says there over and over, they shall know that I am God. God's trying to teach us. He wants to communicate to us, and he wants to show his power. It's by his power. That's what an example is over and over mentioned by all the prophets and by the apostles. Not just, oh, it's a cute story. It shows the power of God to bring a whole nation down. So, I must be holy. I must be glorified, he said. I must be glorified. And know, in Psalms 46:10, and know that I am God, I will be exalted. Amongst the nations, I will be exalted in all the earth. This is the way God looks at it. Is I am God. We're going to find out why later. Okay. So we read in Philippians 2:10, where it talks about every knee is going to bow to Jesus. Every knee to Jesus. Jesus is going to come. Every knee is going to bow. And they're going to glorify that name as above all the names. See, but that has to do with Jesus, not God. Well, wait a minute. How did Jesus get this power, this authority, this glory, this exalted position? How? Philippians 2:9 tells us, God, see, God the Father, all things come from him. God also has highly exalted him, speaking of Jesus. It came from God, and given him the name which is above every name. It all flows from God the Father. But why? Why? Philippians 2:11, to the glory of God the Father. That's why he did it. See, he has to be glorified. We're going to talk about why. He has to be glorified. He did that. He gave Jesus the exalted position so you could thank Jesus for what he did. But you glorify God by doing it because God gave him that might and that exalted position, see? So God, what's God's view of man giving the glory? God demands it. He demands it, see? So although God demands that we glorify him, is it because he needs it? Does God need us to give us to give him glory? Is that why? Let's find out. See, God does not need, we're going to learn, our approbation. He doesn't need our words of kindness. He doesn't need our thanks. He doesn't need the beneficent words you hear, you know, preached by the worldly preachers when they go before the assemblies and, oh, God the great, no, their voice wavers and in a quivers. No, he doesn't need that, you see. God does not suffer from an inferiority complex. See? He doesn't need it. So God does not need anything. That's the point we started with. Everything comes from God. He doesn't need anything. Above all, he doesn't need us. We're like the flowers. David said, he said, why are you even mindful of man? He's nothing but decaying flesh. He's like the grass. He said, you know, the flowers, here today, gone tomorrow. Our wife plants a lot of flowers. They got to keep planting them. Why? Because they keep dying. They keep dying, you see. So, you see, it's not that God does not need anything. God does not need us. We need God. Keep that straight, and we'll touch upon it. We need God. See? So let's think about God now, the way the scriptures describe him. There are five things here. I want to go through them quickly. Five things that come to my mind here as I put this together. Helps us to think of God the Father and picture him as the scriptures tell us. Acts 14:15. See, number one, five things. He created all things. Acts 14:15. Paul is saying you should turn from all these idols, these vanities, this lust and everything you're doing there apart from God. Turn from these vanities unto the living God. See, these other gods, they're dead. They talk about Buddha. They talk about some of these, all these Hindu gods, Islam gods. They're dead. See, they're not real gods. I don't care what you call them. See, this is the living God, the creator God, which made heaven and the earth and the sea and all things therein. All things in the heavens, all things on earth, under everything. See? So, this is why God doesn't need us. And then point two, as God created all things, it follows that he was before all things, before everything, like we talked about. Everything flows from God. Point three, he created all things from nothing. There wasn't things up there that he started, well, I'm going to make man. Let's see, where's the dirt? I'm going to make earth. Where's the dirt? Oh, it's over here someplace in heaven. No, he created all things. Hebrews 11:3. Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. God spoke, okay? So that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. There's a whole concept there of God creating from nothing. From nothing. He didn't have to have something to start with. Today they talk about, oh, we created life. We created this. Everything man, quote, creates, close quote, started with something God created. Okay? Now, four, he owns all things. Exodus 19:5, he said, all the earth is mine. That's the God we're talking about, the God we're talking about giving glory to, why he doesn't need us. Deuteronomy 10:14, behold the heaven and the heaven of heavens. For those who are new, the Bible speaks about three heavens. Three heavens. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's. It belongs to God. The earth also. Don't forget that now. The earth also, it says. And all that therein is. See, think back on these things. It's all so comprehensive. God is God. And he created everything. See? So five. See, it's from God that mankind receives everything necessary that's physical or that's spiritual. It all comes from God. So you talk about giving the glory to God, it all comes from him. Acts 17:25. Nor is he worshipped, Paul is saying, with men's hands. You know, oh, God, they raised your hands. That's fine. That's proper. That's a means of prayer. Or folded, whatever, many different styles of prayer, not just one. See? It said, as though he needed anything, Paul is saying. He's not worshipped with men's hands as though he needed it. That's what we're trying to get at here. Since he, God the Father, gives to all life, breath, and all things. See, if they all come from God to us, why does God need us? He gives us everything. It's just a logical conclusion. See? So God doesn't need us. God has no need of us. God has no need of anything. See? So if God does not need anything from us, if that's the conclusion we come to, why does God demand we glorify him? Right? Why does God? Now remember, I didn't say why God needs the glory. I says, why does he demand it? Okay. 2 Corinthians 4:6-7. Speaking of the knowledge of God and Jesus, Paul says, now remember the question now. If God doesn't need our glory, why does he demand it? Paul says, we have this treasure, God's Spirit, in our minds. That is the power by which he's going to transform us, you see, from physical beings to give us eternal life and salvation, which includes more, I say, than eternal life. See, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That's a nice way of saying your decaying flesh. And without God, you have no hope. None. You're just decaying. And it's only a matter of time to which the heart stops and the breath stops and you turn to dust. Your destiny, apart from God the Father and Jesus Christ, our destiny is dust. See? So he placed us in these earthen vessels that are decaying, that can't exist but more for a few years. See? Why? Why? That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. That's what he wants to teach us. You see? You're decaying. So hopefully you'll turn to God and say, God, I want to glorify you because you're saving me from this body of death, as Paul defined it. That's going to dissipate. See? You've given me this promise of eternal life because all I got is a body that's fading away. And if you don't think so, go back to some old pictures in your envoys or your school book, right? Or your old pictures of the family, and look at yourself, and then look in the mirror. See? We're all going downhill physically. But Paul says, but inside we're growing spiritually with the glory of God. So God wants us to know that he is the only source of all might and all power and life. See? That's why he's given us this body, as they say, an earthen vessel of flesh. So giving the glory to God, see, why do we do it? See, why give it? It keeps our mind on God. You see that? We don't forget God. We think of God when we give God the glory. We don't forget him as the source of our protection, we think about, as the source of our sustenance. So giving the glory to God, it's not for his benefit. It's for our benefit. So we keep God in our mind and in our life. You see, in all that we do. See, Judges 7:2 is a good example of that, where God was just said about the Israelites, they were going to form under Gideon to fight the Midianites. He said, you got too many people, too much of an army. Boy, you're here telling that to a general today? You got too many, too big a military? See? You got too many. Why? Lest Israel win the battle and take the glory themselves. See? God's not going to let that happen. He says, no, turn them back. See? Because they're going to say they got the glory and saying, my own hand saved me. Took the glory to themselves. He doesn't want that. He wants you to keep your mind on him as the one that wins the battles, that sustains your life, and gives you breath in all that you have. See? In 1 Corinthians 1:26-31, see, why give the glory to God? Here we learn, 1 Corinthians 1:26 through 31, we learn God say he had not called many wise. That's kind of odd. If I'm going to build a kingdom, I think I'd want all the wise people, right? When I was in the office of the Worldwide Church of God running the legal department, I wanted wise people. I wanted wise, okay? According to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. See, that's kind of different. You're going to build a kingdom and you don't want the mighty, you don't want the noble. See, that God has chosen the foolish. It makes it worse yet. He's picked us, the foolish, the weak, the base things, the despised. I mean, get that. He's talking about us, right? We just want to say, Christian, here's what you say you are, foolish, weak, base, despised. But when God works through you, he overcomes all obstacles. See that? But why? Why did God not call the noble and the great and the mighty? Why did God call the lesser of the world? Why? See, God has done these things so illogically. In verse 29, it tells us, so that no flesh should glory in his presence. No flesh is going to glory in his presence, you see. See, as God said, I'm not going to give my glory to another. When I do something, I want you to glorify me for your benefit, see. So no flesh is ever going to be able to say, boy, did I really, I and this the problem is, I heard this from some evangelist years ago, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, whenever it was, Mr. Helge, not Mr. Armstrong, one of the people under him that came in and got exalted from what Mr. Armstrong built with God worked through him. I helped build her. I built this church. Boy, you come in after everything is done, then you say you build it. All the work is done. All the buildings are up, see? So anyway, no flesh is going to be able to say by our great dedication or sacrifice, our individual power, our ability, have brought all the blessings that God is going to give to pass. No, you're not going to be able to do that. No flesh is going to be able to glory in his sight. So we want to wake up. God's teaching us that he is all in all. And that's what it says when Jesus returns and the millennium's over. God is going to be all in all. He's everything. Everything. You see that? So give him, why give him the glory? Because he deserves it. He's worthy of it. You see? So next, what are the consequences now of not giving glory to God? God says, I demand it. Well, what are the consequences of not doing it? See, in Micah 2:2, very interesting, Malachi 2:2. It says, if you will not hear, remember we talked about that? Listening, hearing, obeying. If you will not hear, God's talking. God talks to the Bible. The scriptures are God-breathed. They come from God. Hebrews 1:1, it says, God the Father spoke to the prophets of old, and he spoke through Jesus Christ. So when you read it in the Bible, God is speaking. If you will not hear, and if you will not take it to heart to obey, you see, to give glory to my name. Again, God's demanding it. See? So what are the consequences? If you don't listen, if you don't hear, says the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Okay? Well, God, I'm pretty much, I got a lot of barns, they're full of food, got a lot of cars, I got a lot of money in the bank. I'm going to turn all the blessings into a curse. Okay? See? He says, yes, I have cursed them already because you did not take into heart. What take what to heart? To give glory to my name. Remember the sermon topic? Give the glory to God. In Daniel 4, 29 and 31, I'm going to have to go quick here. Daniel 4, 29 through 31, that's a good example there of Daniel explaining about Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon, of the whole mighty empire at that time, you see. And he had a dream, and Daniel had to come and decipher that dream. He said, it's not going to be good. He said, king, I'm sorry, but it's not good news if you don't repent. There's some things you got to repent of, and if you don't, it's not good news, you see. So he said, you know, you got to change or you're going to have a problem. See, did Nebuchadnezzar change? No. No, there was a triggering event that brought all the curses that Daniel talked about, brought them to pass. And that was where the king Nebuchadnezzar, he was walking along the walls of Babylon, big, tall, 20, 30 feet walls, thick, the two chariots could go by, a mighty, mighty fortress, called today one of the wonders of the world, you see. And he comes out and he says, isn't this the Babylon I have built? You get the point? I have built a royal dwelling of my mighty power. Where's God in all of this, right? For the honor of my majesty, see? And while the words were still in his mouth, right? See, his kingdom was taken from him. God took the kingdom from him, and he lived like an animal for a number of years, eating grass and so on. See, Daniel explained this in Daniel 5:20. He says, and when, you know, Nebuchadnezzar's heart was lifted up, and his spirit was hardened in pride. Get that? Very important. Two things God looks at, pride and humility. He hates pride. He hates the haughty. He said, I'm going to bring them all down. I'm going to bring the haughty looks down. But humility, the man who trembles or woman who trembles at my word, those are the ones that are going to be blessed. Okay. So he said, he was at that time, his glory was taken from him. The glory of being ahead of this mighty kingdom that ruled that part of the world. You see, his glory was turned to a curse. And God also told this to his son. He said to his son, Belshazzar, you see, Babylon conquered Judah. They took over the temple, destroyed the temple. They took all the valuables except the ark. They didn't find that or get hold of it. You see, God preserved that somehow. And they took all these cups and everything that were of gold and used in worshiping God and so on. But Belshazzar, the son, he says, look, Daniel telling him, you didn't learn the lesson. You didn't learn the lesson from your father. Here you are having this big party going on here. Depravity, sexual immorality, drinking wine from all these things that are dedicated to God. It was an affront to God. You mock God. See? Why didn't you learn from your father? Okay. So you just praise gods of silver. I'll get this. Silver, gold, bronze, iron, wood, stone. I mean, how many more gods can you have? What else can you make gods out of? He says, and the God who holds the breath in your hand. That's what I'm saying. It all comes from God, our breath, our life. He says, and the God that holds the breath of your life in your hand and owns all your ways, you have not glorified. Yeah? The sermon is what? Give the glory to God. See? This is on the consequence of not giving the glory to God. He didn't. In verse 30 and 31, that very night, Belshazzar was slain. Okay? Now, I don't mean to say every time you don't give the glory to God, boom, fire is going to come from heaven, everybody's going to die. No. But we'll cover that. See? The question is, when you don't give the glory to God, how does God feel? How does God feel? See, you got to realize, go through your Bible. God has feelings. One scripture I just found in going through this accidentally was where God was saying, "And as I punished the children of Israel, I wept." That was very stirring to me. Even when God has to punish, he feels it. He feels sorrow. So what's the consequence of this now? In Luke 17, 14 through 19, when we don't give God the glory, how does God feel? Luke 17, 14 through 19, 10 lepers were there by Jesus, and they called out. They had to call from afar because they couldn't come near people. They had lepers. They had to stand back, okay? And Jesus said, "Okay, you all called out looking for healing. Healed. You are healed." So one of them, when he saw he was healed, he returned, and with a loud voice, he glorified God. Get that? He glorified God. He fell on his face, and he gave him thanks. I think the tie in there is giving thanks as the glorification, not just falling on his face, you see. And he was a Samaritan, a mixture, a hybrid, what they call, Japanese call, like a mongrel, you see. He was Jew and Gentile. And God uses that, or the Jews looked upon these people as very low. They kind of despised them. And the funny thing is, God uses them always as the good example, you see. He uses them as a good example to turn this false pride around a little bit. So the Samaritan came back, and Jesus said, remember, how does God feel we're talking about? And Jesus said, "Where are the 10? Where are the 10? Where are the 9? What happened? Were not 10 I healed? Didn't I heal 10? Were not any found to return to give the glory to God?" Remember, Jesus didn't say, "And give me the glory," to give the glory to God. He was the Son of God. He was exalted by God. We just read about, okay? See, except this foreigner, he's the only one. See? So you see, there was no fire. There was no big lightning bolts. There wasn't thunder. Just what? Just disappointment. Disappointment. I healed you of this horrible disease, and you didn't come back and glorify me, God the Father. You didn't come back and give thanks. So we don't want to disappoint God. Because in Ephesians 5:20 it says, giving thanks always, always. See, in all things to God through his Son, Jesus Christ. Okay. Then you can read on your own Romans 1, 22, 32. Romans 1, and that shows what happens when they knew God and did not glorify God. Read through the list of all the depravity that came upon them when they rejected God and didn't give him the glory. All the depravity, you see. And that shows what happens. That's a good example of what happens when you leave God out of your mind, because you don't give him the glory, and the flesh takes over. That's where the flesh leads. Then in Acts 12, 21, the final one on consequence, the consequence, Acts 12, 21 through 23, King Herod was speaking, and the people shouted, "The voice of God, the voice of God." But he didn't deny it. He said, "Whoa, wait a minute, don't say my voice is of God, that's too great." No. He just soaked up the adulation, you see. And what happened? Verse 23. Then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give the glory to God. Okay? So there are other examples by that. We won't have time to go through them all. But you want to give the glory to God, because there's adverse consequences if you don't. Okay. So So what are the different means of giving the glory to God? Psalms 50:23. We're going to go through these quickly. Psalms 50:23, the different means of giving the glory to God. Whoever offers praises glorifies God. Okay? John 15:8. My Father is glorified. Words of Jesus explaining his Father is glorified when you bear much fruit. Okay? Now that's not just a cute little phrase, a cute little statement. Galatians 5:23 describes the fruits of God's Spirit. Read them. They're joy, peace, long-suffering, etc., etc. You can read them. But it says the fruit of the Spirit. Where does the Spirit come from? It comes from God. You don't take credit. Oh, I'm so good. I've got such patience. I got such love. It comes from God's Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit that comes from God. 1 Corinthians 6:20. Glorify God in your body and your spirit. You do that by obeying. When he says don't do something, you don't do it. He says do something, you do it. Okay? Then we come to a very unusual means of glorifying God. 1 Peter 4:12-16. 1 Peter 4:12-16. Very different way. Because there it says, don't think the fiery trial is something strange, but rejoice. Rejoice. Fiery trials, you see? If you are approached, not because you got drunk and got a DUI, so I'm being persecuted. No, you deserved it. You got it coming, maybe. You see that? But if you are reproached for the name of Christ, see, blessed are you. See, on their part, see, God says, I'm going to break it down two ways now. Those that are telling you, you start obeying Allah, or we're going to cut your throat, right? As some examples today, correct? See, on their part, Jesus is blaspheming. But now let's turn over to you, the victim, the one that's being attacked, the one that's being told, deny Jesus. He says, but on your part, God is glorified when you're in this persecution. It's odd. But that's the way it says. That's the scripture. Is there anyone who suffers as a Christian, because you are a Christian, do not be ashamed. Paul was in prison for his Christian convictions. He was not ashamed. He's not ashamed of these chains, he said, that was on him. You see, he was chained. He wasn't ashamed. See, but it says, so it goes on to say, but let him glorify God in this matter. So that's maybe hard to understand. And in John 21:17-19, that's where Jesus said to Peter, Peter, you're young now and you're going to go wherever you want to go. But once you get older, your hands are going to be tied. Your hands are going to be tied and you're going to be taken where you don't want to be taken. See? And it says in verse 19, this he spoke, signifying what death he would glorify God. I see. Glorify God by going to death because of your convictions. Hard to understand, but somehow, the persecution of a Christian results in glorification of God. And I hope to speak on that sometime in the future. So your length and breadth, see, of your duty to give glory to God is found in 1 Corinthians 10:31. He says, therefore, whether you eat or whether you drink, whatever you do, that's pretty broad, right? You can say, well, God, you don't mean this, you don't mean that. Pretty broad. Do all to the glory of God. Do all to the glory of God. Now, the biblical examples of giving glory to God, we'll go through these quickly. Jesus is the first example. John 17:4, Jesus said in this prayer, I have glorified you on earth, talking to God the Father. See? Jesus set the example for us. He says, I have, and it's interesting as to why, what the context of that is, I have finished the work that you've given me to do. Okay. Acts 11, 18, when they heard, the apostles heard that now the way is open to the Gentiles, right? 11, 18, when they heard these things, the Gentiles are called too. That's wonderful. And they glorified God. So here's a means of glorifying God, because here's the blessing coming upon third parties. And remember, this was against their interest. I'm an Israelite. I am the child of God. Nobody else. I'm not an Israelite totally, but part. Okay? But you get the example. See? This was against their interest, so to speak. But they glorified God. They went beyond their own personal vanities to this, for that reason. Then, again, you can read this home. Acts 3, that's where there was a lame man and Peter and John, I believe it was. Peter and John came up there and they looked upon the man and says he thought he had faith to be healed. And he says, be you healed, rise up and walk. And the man did. And the people all gathered around and they, boy, this is wonderful. And they were looking, see, and Peter could discern. Peter could discern that they were looking at them saying, boy, you guys are really something great. But Peter didn't let the King Herod example affect him. See? He said, now, wait a minute, wait a minute. I know what you're thinking. Get rid of that thought, he said, you see. Why are you looking so intently at us as though we, by our power or our godliness, have made this man walk? Boy, he said, don't get that in mind. No, he says, it was in his name, the name of Jesus Christ, through faith in his name. See, that's why he's walking. Not through us. See, but it's interesting, he said, not through power in us and not through godliness. See, not that I go around, boy, if I got some power, I can heal, I put my hands on you, maybe you're healed. Whoa, that's my power. No, that's bad. See, that's bad. That power comes from God. Jesus heals. See? Or godliness. Oh, I'm so good. Man, I am so God. God works through me for this purpose. Two bad conclusions to come to. He said, that's not what does it. It's not power within you. It's not godliness within you. It was through the power of Jesus Christ that the person was healed. So he closed off all avenues of personal credit. Get that? And he gave the glory to God. You see that? And that's what he did when he traveled to. He said, when he went all through the work that he, you got to read the book of Acts and read it carefully of what Paul went through. All the hardships, the difficulties, walking, hoofing it, time after time with maybe very little water. The water you had to carry, that's heavy. Water is heavy, see? But when you get thirsty, you wish you had it. And he had to carry whatever parcels of food they had. And there was fear of wild animals tearing them apart. We got fear of animals here. Just think of what he is out in the desert. And one Bedouin tribe, they were fearful of hyenas. They put food out for them so they get so full they wouldn't attack. But what did Paul say when he came back? See, he said to them, in Acts 14, 27, boy, I tell you, I was out there and I really, I raised up a lot of churches and I had people call, I got a lot of people into the church. He didn't say that. What did he say? And they all came together in the church. Paul reported all that God had done through them. See that? All that God had done. He gave the credit to God. He was just the instrument. God used him, see. And Paul made sure that that was recognized. So as God has given us sufficient for our needs, and some more than sufficient, let us be careful not to misdirect the glory. In Jeremiah 9:23, Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let them who are going to glory, if you're going to glory, then glory in this, that he understands me, God, and knows me. That's what you want to understand. That's what you want to glory in, that you know God, that God has opened your mind that you can know him. The rest of the world stumbles, walks in darkness, but God has given us light. It's a good reason to give him glory. So the bottom line, in conclusion, the long and short of the whole matter is 1 Corinthians 1:31. He who glories, let him glory in the Lord. So I hope this is helpful to turn your mind to God as you read the crescendo of Bible prophecy coming to pass.